Salam alaikum. Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
That's the kicker.
Ty, so you go by Ty, is that cool?
Or Ty's great, yeah.
Or Torre, I mean, I've seen people call you both.
Torre is a recent development that I've, sort of self-given. Generally, I've been known as Ty. I had people calling me Garvey throughout high school because Ty Himba was impossible to pronounce for anybody without a college degree. So,
now you explained that to me where that came from one time. You said your parents did some missionary work down in Africa. Is that correct?
Yeah, like it's still an amazing story to me even when I tell it. But both of my parents, before they actually even got together, went to different parts of Africa. And got off course, went to other parts, they were both supposed to go to these particular villages, sort of this safe zone area. And both of them being the revolutionary minds that they were, just kind of like did their own thing and ended up going to this remote West African area where they did naming ceremonies.
Oh,
and
I see.
Before any of us were born, they got names for all that. It's like, some witch doctor or shaman or whatever you want to call it, medicine man. They did the ceremony, and they just decided, hey, when you have kids, this is what their names are going to be.
Oh, wow. So,
and that was it.
So you were pretty much predestined, as
yeah.
it were. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so how many siblings do you have in your brood?
I've got one brother and one sister in my immediate family. I'm the middle child.
Oh, I see. Now, speaking of which, I'm gonna read a quote for you. Conspiracy theorists are connecting so many dots they lose the forest for the trees. I think a conspiracy theory falls into this trap. While the connection from X to Y is valid, X to Y is not relevant to the actual point. It does not further the essential thesis. Do you recognize that?
I do. That is actually from my older brother from another mother, you could call it. But Hussan, who's actually a professor now, which is crazy because it's like a guy that I used to hang out with and drink with and whatnot. But
yeah.
Yeah, that was him checking me on my supposed pattern. That was him setting me straight.
Yeah, because you kind of got a little tied up there, right? I mean, your main focus, as far as I can tell from the jump, has been, it's African-American iconology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mainly focus on pop divas. I mean, you can
right.
correct me on that if I'm wrong, but... and Beyonce Knowles in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much started out with Beyonce and you kind of got tied into a loop, right? I mean, everything kind of drove you to thinking that she was being portrayed as a whore.
Definitely. It was a whirlpool effect if I ever saw one, man. I completely did not expect to get tied into a pop princess pattern. I mean, I'm the last guy in the world to buy a Beyonce album. I was so in denial about her even being attractive for a little while, because I was just like, you know, pop is evil, you know, it's commercial music is killing the artists and this and that. But when my business partner went to Japan, we started having these weird discussions about the cultural differences between Japan and America. And one of the things that we spent a lot of time talking about was the whole pop music scene, because the pop music scene in Japan is like ridiculous. You know what I mean? We think it's crazy over here, but over there, because they have that spiritual society, there's almost a religiousness to it, you know? And that's something that we, well, I found later that we have here, but we were talking about, man, we don't have that in our society. Like, we don't have that spirituality built in the way the Japanese do. But once we started looking, it was all there, you know? It was like, I just seen one or two. It started with the Trinity, you know, started with the three and the honeybee. Those were the two main things that I focused on in that first Beyonce blog. But it was like, there were things that were so simple and obvious that are like a part of our culture. But I realized that there's spiritual messages here, you know, that we're receiving, or that, you know, the little girls that are jumping around singing these songs on YouTube videos are receiving these messages every day.
So do you still kind of have a conspiracy theorist point of view as far as that's concerned? I mean, do you think that it's done on purpose, or do you feel it's just part of the human condition? Like, even if we're not aware of it, are we going to have, you know, a spiritual overtone to our mass media? Or is it coincidence? Is it synchronicity? Yeah. Does that word even have meaning anymore?
Well, I definitely no longer believe in coincidence in the general sense that people use it. I've sort of redefined the term as I believe it. Coincidence being a pattern, you know, a coincidence being a basically a pattern that I haven't figured out yet. But is it on purpose? That's something that I actually battle with a lot in my research. And I think in some ways that almost touches upon this giant discussion within synchronicity about the signals that we receive and what part of it is just a part of the natural occurring pattern that we're tapping into, and what part of it is just, you know, purposefully done to, for whatever reason, you know, if you want to say the Freemasons need to, you know, put their stamp on something, or social programming, you know, if the woman in the red dress needs to appear in the movie so that you can get horny and buy the DVD, or if it's in there, you know, as a message of spiritual enlightenment, you know, as a message of, you know, reaching inside to the heart, to the red, to the blood, you know, that question comes up in just about every pattern that I come up to. And I'm honestly really not sure, you know, I want to believe, and I've talked to Jake a few times about this. I want to believe that, you know, the all is the all. Right. And, you know, I can't put the pattern on any one force or, you know, conspiracy. But at the same time, you know, I can't ignore the purpose.
It gets overwhelming. Sometimes I know particularly, you know, particularly of your own work, sometimes it's so blatantly obvious where there's certainly a pattern, there's certainly going, I mean, if we go back to Beyonce, I mean, the fact that her name is BK, all right, so her initials are the second letter of the alphabet and the 11th letter of the alphabet, you know, so it's 211 or 2K,
right?
Which, you know, is probably not on purpose. It's impossible for that to be on purpose. It has a great meaning for secret mystics, 2K or 1111 and so forth and so on. But then you look at stuff, for instance, the robotic hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird. That gets so overplayed, and, you know, the sexualization of technology and everything is so overly abundant and especially pop divas right now, that it almost seems like it has to be on purpose.
Mm. We actually got into a little short back and forth about this on one of my blogs about my use of the word agenda.
Yeah.
Talking about the robot agenda.
Right.
And that's still something I actually had a discussion with my business partner last night. Because we were watching one of the YouTube Masonic videos, you know, and there was this image of Lady Gaga, you know, full on red dress, bowing before the Queen of England, you know, and he's like, how can it not be on purpose, man? Look, there's the White Queen, there's the Red Queen, you know, it's like, you know, how can that not be for someone that's setting up this meeting? That person obviously has some knowledge of what the White Queen and the Red Queen is. You know, it's not as if these concepts are just completely, you know, as we were saying, coincidental. And this woman in the full-on red dress, you know, there's a meaning to that for educated people who are putting this together. So,
right,
you know, how am I to take it? You know, I like I said, you know, I want to believe that the all is the all, but when I see this hand, I mean, the robot hand or whatever, the unnatural hand, the artificial hand, I want to just say that that's okay. Well, you know, that's part of the pattern. That's part of the all. That's part of the way it's supposed to be. But at the same time, something in me says that something there is happening that's not right.
Right.
You know, and that's more so what motivates me, as on the conspiracy side. You know, there's the my business partner. he checks a lot of my ideas and keeps me from going into space, but he always tells me that the pattern has two hands. You know, that, you know, while there's this wonderful and beautiful side of it, that,
right,
you know, like all magic, you know, it's the purpose, it's the use, it's, you know, you have a weapon, but it's whose hands the weapon is in that really makes a difference.
It's hard. I mean, I deal with that too. I can understand your, you know, being at war with the two different opposing theories that, and other people have used the same symbols as yourself, like the gentleman from Pseudo Occult, where he basically keyed in on the robotic hand too, and he also made some other, you know, observations that I'm sure you've seen yourself, such as the dolls, the mannequins always being pushed. I mean, like Katy Perry on her album, she has, I was blown away when I saw that there was a song on that was called Mannequin. And then, I mean, like, how blatant can you get? And then there was that, I can't remember the brand of vodka, but I remember walking, I think I sent you the picture too. I remember walking into the liquor store and there being this chick that looked like the robot from iRobot. Yeah. and it's meant to be sexy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what else was – I was watching Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Oh, and God.
Have you seen that yet?
I haven't. I was almost forced to sit down and watch it, and I think that's why I haven't, because I've been fighting it ever since.
I was forced to sit down and watch it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there watching it, and she's having a problem with shopping, of course.
Of course.
And every time she walks by the windows, the mannequins start to move and, you know, try to tease her with buying new objects or whatever. And at the end of the movie, she pretty much overcomes, and she's walking down the street, and all the mannequins in the windows come alive and start clapping and cheering her on. It's really freaking surreal, because the rest of the movie is – yeah, the rest of the movie is just basic, you know – there's no oddities anything out of the ordinary, and then at the end of it, you see all these mannequins. I mean, I couldn't help but think, do they realize what they're doing? You know, they're hollowing out young girls pretty much.
Deep.
But whether or not it's on purpose or whether or not – I mean, I can't understand the sexualization of technology and post-humanization and all that shit just makes no sense to me. I mean, I can't even get my MP3 to work, you know, for more than like 6 months and they fucking break on me. I mean, if somebody tries to put a robotic leg on my shit and just charge me every time I need a tune-up, that's bullshit.
It's complete bullshit. And it's – what really gets me is not just – the artifice of it, you know, the bullshit of it, if you know, if we're going to call that, but the speed, you know, I mean, I work in computers, and there's a theory about the development of the microchip where, you know, it needs to double every 10 years or so. Like there's this weird exponential rate, you know, and we're seeing it, you know, there's no way that we would have predicted, you know, when the internet came out or became popular in 1992, that, it, you know, in 10 years, it was going to run the world. You know, there's no way. When I was, you know, putting together little websites, you know, on my computer, you know, in college, it was a fringe thing, you know, but it's happening. It's all happening so fast right now. That's the thing that really gets me. It's like I there's no way I can tell what the hell is going to happen next. And it's the same thing with this pattern, you know. And that's one of the keys that has kind of kept me going with this, because I see that the trends in culture and society reflect what's happening in the sync world, you know, this the same way that these signals around the world are being ramped up and people are just randomly noticing crazy shit.
Yeah.
Is the same way, you know, in the sync universe, things are ramping up in the same way. And, you know, if we want to talk about the robotic hand or post-humanization or, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's the same way. It's like the social trends line up with this agenda or whatever it is. It makes perfect sense in the logical progression of society for us to move towards robotics. You know, as a technological people, that's if we're looking towards technological efficiency, you know, we use one guy that I was talking to used the example of eyeglasses. Nobody thinks of eyeglasses as a cybernetic implant, but it is. You know, it's the same thing. So the next technological progression leads us to sort of this post-humanist thing. So it's like there's an agenda that seems to line up with what is supposed to happen already.
Well, I can see it. I can see it as a natural progression of evolution. That's true. But at the same time, I mean, in my opinion, there is no mechanism on the planet is finely tuned as the human body. Mm. I mean, okay, say your truck. I mean, how long are you going to have a truck? How long are you – unless you really want to, like, fix up an old, you know, classic, the odds are you're not going to have a truck past 10 to 15 years.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? But the human body has a life expectancy of 80 to 100. I'm, you know.
And that's 80 to 100. That's the number that we have based on what we do now with our bodies now, you know. Right. That's not our peak efficiency. You know, I'd say that we're probably operating at, you know, I mean, they say the numbers we use with our brain. I'd say the efficiency of our body is probably even less. You know, I've heard a couple of speakers what do you call it, biorhythms or biomysticism, that sort of biological spirituality. And they've spoken about how all the body really needs, you know, is air and water. to be able to do the metaphysical processes. And the less that you take in, the more efficiently the body works. Like, the body has to work harder to break down all the shit that we put in it that we consider to be fuel.
Right. I learned that lesson earlier this week. I went on a snowboarding trip, and I mean, snowboarding is rigorous. First of all, you're in a harsh environment, and you know, you're pushing your body to the limit for hours at a time. And I know you know, being in Atlanta, you have no experience with this whatsoever.
No.
But when I came off the mountain, you know, you've worn yourself down so much that you just eat and eat. And I ate too much. And for like the next 2 days, I was out completely because my body had to process all that shit.
Process it, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's probably, you know, the American culture, we're so geared towards, you know, stimulus that we probably eat way too much or pound, or even people who are trying to, you know, drinking, smoking pot, shit like that. We probably abuse those too much just because of their fucking sensory. But you bring up something else, though, when you were talking about the electronic, you know, evolution. And well, here's another quote that you've used. Context is the envelope in which messages reach us. And you basically got that from, correct me if I'm wrong in pronouncing his name, but his name is Marshall McLuhan. Is that correct?
McLuhan. Yep, that's him.
Crazy. What do you know about? Yeah, what do you know? Have you studied that guy at all?
He is nuts, man. He's nuts. he's you know what I mean? He's fucking nuts. That's all I can say about him. He had his heyday in the 70s when nobody knew what the heck he was talking about. And he was talking about, he began by talking about the ideas of the medium, and he started studying television when it was first becoming prominent, when it was switching into color, and becoming this mass media super machine. And he was basically talking about the ideas of hot media versus cold media, which, you know, I mean, this guy was an oracle, you know, like, he didn't realize that the concept of hot media is something that we're dealing with now, which is hot media is basically an interactive media, where cold media is sort of that one way back and forth transfer. And he was talking about, you know, you can sit down in TV and sort of interact with the television, which we're doing now, you know what I mean? Like, we actually literally, you know, through the Wii or the Xbox or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Know, we actually literally interact with our TVs. And he was talking about this, you know, in sort of an abstract sense, but the things are really happening now. So all of his quotes are just amazing to me.
Yeah. He pretty much coined the phrase for surfing as we use.
Yeah. Yeah. Surfing going. He came up with the term global village.
Global
before
village.
there was no internet, and I mean, his most famous phrase, you know, that medium is message. I'm still wrapping my head around that.
Yeah, could you explain what you understand of that now?
A little sure. Bit? In a very basic sense, we have general separation as we understand it between the medium and the message. You know, if someone is speaking to you, that person is the medium, and the words that they're saying to you are the message. Okay. Now, what McLuhan is saying is that those two terms actually become reflexive and start to, like, spin together to the point where the medium affects the message and the message affects the medium, so that you can't really see one without the other, and you can't really hear one without the other. I use the example of when you read song lyrics, the effect that it has, rather than when you hear it being sung as a part of a song or as a part of a melody. You know, it, you can say, okay, well, if I sing this word and I say this word, they mean the same in a literal sense. But the way that your body, the way that you process that energy, the way that you process that meaning is different based on what that medium is. Kind of like if you were watching somebody live versus watching them on a TV screen or on a YouTube video, you know, the message is affected by the medium, and not just affected, but shaped, you know, to the point where, as McLuhan says, the medium is actually the true message, you know.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
He's like, that's the best I can do.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's heavy stuff. Well, I mean, he gets into the purpose of technology and how technology is an extension of human beings, and how technology is the medium, and therefore we are the medium. You know, it's, you know, he goes into some very deep concepts there that I'm still, like, I understand it for my purposes of the pattern, but he goes even deeper than I even really wanted to go, you know? Like, I there were parts that I read and I just stopped myself. I was like, all right, well, let me scroll back up to the introduction and get, like, it's abstract, because he's going nuts here. And he truly is a special personality.
I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I watch movies with subtitles. My mom's kind of getting hard of hearing, and I watched a movie with her, and she put the subtitles on it, and I was amazed at how the connotation of the movie changed. But that also, I mean, that also goes down to another kind of, I guess, obsession for me, at least. I'm expecting it to be for you as well, as comic books, because they're multi-context. They have the words, the pictures, the way that it makes your brain move in general. And is that when you keep saying your business partner, is that what you're talking about? Are you in the comic book business or?
Yeah. My business partner is this cat named Jason Collins. He actually inspired me to actually get on comic books, because we both used to just kind of, you know, mess around and draw whatever we wanted to draw. We actually met, you know, in art classes in high school, but, you know, he was the guy that was like, you know, come on, man, get serious. Let's actually do a comic book, you know, so we're working on it. And, you know, in addition, you know, I credit him on my blog from time to time, because he was the guy that, you know, the same thing. It's like, come on, man, get serious. You want to get into this pattern stuff? You know, go ahead, put your ideas down, you know, start putting some stuff together. Stop just talking about it all the time.
Okay, well, I saw some pictures recently of you. Were they done by him? The one with the pizza? Which is kind of it has some symbol, you know, we attach it to certain things in synchromysticism, but the pizza being delivered at your house at 11:11, and then he had another one with a bulletin board behind a picture of you, and that had patterns all in it, like the number 42 and stuff of that nature. How close is that to reality? I mean, do you have – be honest, man.
I mean, I do actually have a bulletin board. I mean, it's all exaggerated, but, I mean, if you go into my office, there is actually a bulletin board full of random news clippings and photographs and – I mean, of course, it's not quite that literal. Like, you know, it's not like the number 42 and like the Twin Towers. But, you know, it's random stuff. It's, you know, every once in a while I'll find something, especially being in the creative field. Graphic design is my day job.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So I collect a lot of flyers, album covers, and art is just synchromistic gold I'm discovering. I'm trying to use it a lot more in my new blogs. Like, you've read The Lion and the Lamb piece. Yeah. I used a lot of internet art, if you would call it that, or photoshopped art, or amateur. I guess there isn't really a category for it, but just that
Well, it's pretty much the global village. I mean, that's what it is.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's one of the things that when I was reading Marshall McLuhan, is what he was talking about, is how, you know, the way that media is heading will, how did he put it? Well, he basically said that the creation of text or type, you know, fragmentalized, I guess is what he said, the human psyche, and broke it to pieces. And what the current media, like computers and the mass assumption of information or absorption of information, will create like a global mind, or it will take. I mean, what's interesting to me is, like, through all of this shit, with the death of, you know, the Peter Pan, Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, with so many celebrities dying, so many celebrities being exposed, like Tiger Woods and stuff like that. I mean, we're losing the illusion of the celebrity.
Yeah.
And through the internet, you know, anybody can have an influence on a large populace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the falling star, man. It's that's the way I've been thinking of it. The idea that becoming a quote unquote celebrity almost now means no longer that there's this exclusive thing about you, but now it means that you're the most intimate thing in my life, that I have 24-hour access to everything you do and everything you right. say on Twitter, you know, and every photograph of you, you know, walking your dog in the park, you know, whatever. But, you know, the idea of the star, the thing that we, this unreachable, you know, that we attain, that we aspire for, is now the most intimate, you know, the closest thing to us, closer than in our own families. We know more about Beyonce and Rihanna than we do about, you know, your cousin, you know, right. that lives in Poughkeepsie or whatever.
Oh, man. Well, see, like, you were talking about art, which it – okay. You were saying that it's kind of a hoe for synchronicities and stuff.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about, you know, actually – you know, I've mentioned it to others or asked them about writing fiction and stuff of that nature. But, I mean, I'm wondering if this works both ways. Say, like, say, like, in, you know, physics, if you have a glass tube with a lot of electrons and you speed the electrons up, then the glass tube heats up, right?
Right.
So the door swings both ways. If you heat the glass tube up, then the electrons will speed up. Do you get what I'm saying? So,
yes.
What is your opinion on actually dropping subtle archetypical icons into your work?
I'm all for it, man. And that's that's part of the reason why the piece of art that you did see was so sync laden, as to use your term. We both believe that it is our duty as artists to put as much of that as we can into the art. You know, that it feels right on one level to put it into the art, but, you know, at the same time, art being a natural reflection, you know, it just in a general sense, you know, that's the purpose of it, is to tell our stories. And, you know, it would be wrong to tell our stories now without sync. You know, I mean, having this awakening, you know, the floodgates being open and all that, it would really make no sense. We would be holding back, you know, to not put this symbolism in the artwork, because it's a part of the reality. You know, I say this maybe once a week, probably two or three times a week more realistically, but we say, where would I be without synchronicity?
Yeah.
You know, what would my mindset be? What would my thinking be without this concept of sync? You know, how would I be viewing the world differently? And I really have no concept of it. you know, but it okay. just, you know, brings me back to the importance of it.
So, was synchronicity always a big part of your life?
You know, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I've always been brought back to pattern. Okay. I've always synchronicity, I suppose, in one form or another. I think the earliest point in which I realized or was awoken to sync was sort of in my early teens, when I started to drift away from the church, and I realized that all the religions were saying the same shit.
Yeah.
Because I really got into like Sunday school, and you know, I was fortunate enough to have you know, a friend who was a Muslim, you know, who actually started to break down for me, you know, the pillars, you know, and the symbolism, and the Hebrew origins, you know, which really kind of got it for me. But it was like, well,
okay,
you know, there's patterns in this, and there's, those patterns have meaning. And now I just have context for it. You know, we have a buzzword that we could use.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've created slang. however, I got another question for you. Do you normally have personal syncs? I mean, because you don't really focus. There's different styles in synchromysticism. You and I both know that.
Definitely.
There's kind of the what I call the James Joyceans, like, you know, who like a Ferris Moon, who talk in almost riddles or complete and utter puns. Mm. Then there's like the Jake Katzes, who are more on a spiritual path. There's
right.
the ones who only use news. You, however, don't really focus on personal synchronicities to a great extent.
Yeah.
Do you have personal synchronicities where,
oh, of course.
You know, you're okay.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I'm still I've always had very high hopes for synchronicity, to kind of put it mildly. As soon as I started watching the comic book cycle videos, which is my introduction
yeah.
to sync as we know it.
Right.
I always had this faith, it's a strange word to use, that it was going to be something great. But I'm still floored by this shit that happens in my daily life. You know, I'm literally speechless at the things that I see around me. You know, I was talking to my ex-girlfriend the other day, and we were talking about the Trinity, and the three witches and the TV show Charmed. And,
yeah.
you know, she just brought up the fact that, you know, she and her two sisters have always had a special connection, you know, wherever they are in the world. One of her sisters is in Africa. I think the other sister was in Nevada, I believe, but they, you know, and she was almost jokingly, but she was saying, you know, they feel each other's pain, and, you know, basically describing the three as one concept without knowing what she was talking about.
Oh, okay.
And I had one of those weird sync reality moments where it's like you can't really explain what you're
yeah.
feeling to someone without sounding like a complete loon.
To explain synchronicity sometimes takes so much context that you can't do it in an everyday conversation, really.
Yeah.
I don't feel, though, that it has alienated me. I mean, it's been a beneficial part of your life, as you said before. I mean,
definitely.
How you couldn't really conceive how you would think of the world. Has it made you a better person, you would say?
Definitely. Definitely. That I'd say is the most beautiful part of all of this, is the way that it's changed my perception of reality, and changed my perception of social dynamic. You know, understanding that there is a pattern, and understanding that I am responsible for it, that we are all responsible for it. You know, it reaches out into every aspect of dealing with you know, interpersonal relationships, you know, how whatever problem you need to deal with, putting it in terms of the all pattern of the all consciousness, moving, puts you in a position of moving towards positivity, first of all, you know, which is definitely been a great thing for me, you know, because I can tend to be very cynical and negative. But at the same time, having this, you know, innate connectedness to this other being, you know, in whatever that, and starting from that, when you, with your problem solving, you know, that's been amazing for me.
Of God. Searching for the truth is a threat. Seems the closer we get to the truth, state troopers of feds come out to silence you. My house in Malibu, probably tapped, cause living next door to Demi Moore. Plus I'm black, plus I want vengeance for the poor who's attacked daily. Patriot Act never scared me. Jake in the Taurus, sticky in the Jarvis. Niggas I'm with got warrants, America's browning. 20 years from now, every town will be brown and Latin. An African looking Manhattan. I'ma tell you what I seen with my three eyes. Word to me, not a hoax back in 99. A spacecraft in the skyline. In LA in daytime, axe horse if I'm lying.
Every mother, every father, raise your sons and your daughters with respect and with honor. From the seed comes the fruit. It's an unbroken circle. All of life is universal, and we're all in the struggle. If I know one thing is true,
remains in debate. Documents of our own Air Force base. Additional terrestrial information. Other planets with life population. My observation. Scientists study pictures of a flying disc. Right on Earth, anthropologists are finding shit. Visitors probably live at us. They can mimic us. It's sort of what we're seeing in the cinemas.
Take a look in the mirror and see the bigger picture. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Nobody is an island. We are part of an environment. Only way we gon' survive is if we harmonize.
General Lewis, the black billionaire before Oprah, Bob Johnson. How'd he disappear? Conspiracy theories, UFOs in the air. I seen it with my own two eyes, and I swear, like Warren Buffett. Real money, I'm just trying to touch it. The diamond and crush this shit, live illustrious. Cause we was deprived of it, suffered. Now we pop to prove anything's possible. My pimp strut was invented when they whipped us. Now we diddy bop just to show you that our strength's up. Just when niggas bout to see they cut, global warming bout to burn us up. Niggas never really seen paper in this world. American black, the teenager of this world. Give us 20 more years to grow up. Already geniuses. What I mean is this. I used to worship a certain Queens police murderer till I read the words of Ivan Van Sertima. He inserted something in me that made me feel worthier. Now I spit revolution. I'm his hood interpreter.
Take a look in the mirror and see the bigger picture. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Nobody is an island. We are part of an environment. Only way we gon'
yo, I'm American born. Love America. Love my people. Love all mankind. All nationalities. You know? I think it's just been recent where everybody started to feel like there was an elite group that runs everything. And everybody else was sheep, ignorant, making all ethnicities, colors, and creeds niggas, blind to what's really going on. So I say take off the wool from your eyes, out with the old America, in with the new. End all racism, all injustice, all oppression to poor people, anywhere on this planet. Let's come together. A new day's rising.
Wow, that's amazing. Welcome to the future.